You're tuned into KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Portland, 91.9 FM, Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM, Philomath and Corvallis. Up next, the KBOO Evening News. Now some words.
Who can take the airwaves, sprinkle them with charm, fill with news and info without doing any harm? Community radio, KBOO radio. KBOO presents a wide range of events and keeps them commercial free. Who can thrive the year long on nothing much at all? Make eclectic programs in the meantime, have a ball. Community radio, KBOO radio. We take the money we make, and for everybody's sake, we make it last the year long. KBOO's great, the greatest in the state. It's satisfying and mentally nutritious. A wide blend of radio wishes. The programs are delicious. Who can make a difference and keep us on the air? Just become a member, your funds with us you share. That's community at KBOO Radio. Cause at KBOO we mix it all with love and make it sound so good. KBOO's great, the greatest in the state. It's satisfying and mentally nutritious. A wide blend of radio wishes. The programs are delicious. You can make the difference. Stop selling yourself short. Call us on the telly and give us your support. That's community at KBOO Radio. Cause at KBOO we mix it all with love and make it sound so good.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Three young Muslims in North Carolina have been gunned down in an apparent hate crime in North Carolina, while closer to home, a police shooting of an unarmed man in Washington State has sparked outrage after a cell phone video of the incident was posted on the internet.
Thousands of Oregonians converged on the state capitol today to demand health care for all Oregon. We've got a full report.
Immigrant rights activists have occupied the offices of dozens of Republican lawmakers in Washington, D.C., calling for an end to the deportations and attacks on immigrant families.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we would like you to become a member right now by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. An unarmed man was publicly executed by police in Pasco, Washington yesterday, while dozens of witnesses watched in horror. Two eyewitnesses captured the incident on cell phone cameras. One of these videos captures clearly the whole incident, beginning with a man acting somewhat erratically and apparently yelling at a group of four police officers who are standing around 10 feet away from him. The man then turns and runs, and the police fire several shots after him. The officers pursue the man by foot across the street, and the man turns with his hands up in the air in an apparent attempt to surrender to the police. Instead, several of the officers began firing, and the man fell to the ground dead. The video shows that the officers were about 4 feet away from the unarmed man when they shot and killed him. The name of the victim has not yet been released. Both the officers and the victim appear, by the footage, to be white.
Public opponents of the Keystone XL pipeline have been receiving phone calls and visits, both at home and at work, from FBI agents. Specifically, protesters from Oregon, Idaho, and Washington State who protested and blocked the shipment of megaloads, which contain monstrously sized tar sand extraction machinery, have reported these contacts by federal agents. The FBI agents claimed they were not performing criminal investigations and that the protesters were not being accused of a crime. Instead, agents explained that they wanted to learn more about the movement. KBOO's Charlotte Gerlin spoke with one protester who has come under the FBI's scrutiny. They discussed the contacts and the protesters' responses.
I got a hold of a lawyer in Bellingham that other activists who had been contacted by the FBI, including one poor wild Idaho Rising Tide activist in October, this lawyer had asked that people get a hold of him if we were contacted by the FBI. So I talked with him. And we never did surmise between the lawyer and the various Wild Idaho Rising Tide activists that were contacted by the FBI why they were contacting us. What was their purpose?
Well, can you tell me why you would speculate that they're contacting you right now?
Well, we suspect that it's a convergence of three things. The FBI first contacted climate activists, especially with Rising Tide, in back in the summer of 2013, when there were various blockades of oil trains and tracks and the regulatory agencies overlooking those oil ventures. The preceding winter, the winter of 2013 and 14, there were numerous, dozens and dozens of protests against tar sands equipment coming through the region from the Port of Umatilla in eastern Oregon, through Oregon, southern Idaho, and western Montana, heading up to the Alberta tar sands. And everyone from native tribes to rural activists partook in those protests. We just learned recently, yesterday actually, that Union Pacific is bringing tar sands through the Northwest now out to Washington and California refineries. The only two gateways for this rail traffic of tar sands is Sweetgrass in Montana, right near Interstate 15, and Eastport in the panhandle of Idaho, right near U.S. Highway 95. So we suspect that the FBI already knew about these impending tar sands shipments, and the combination of there have already been blockades of tar sands equipment and also of oil trains in the Northwest, they probably assume that activists would also target such trains as well. That's the best guess we have of why the FBI might have gotten a hold of us. Although there might be other tricks up the corporate sleeve that we haven't heard about yet, and of course the FBI is doing a little bit of surveillance work, it would seem, at the behest of some of these big oil companies. When we were engaging in another activity besides protesting these tar sands megaloads, we were out monitoring them, which we have done often to collect evidence that could potentially be used in court cases against these hauling companies and oil companies that own the equipment. We were essentially leapfrogging a shipment. We were already parked on the side of a highway, and a law officer came up and accused the two women in the backseat of not having our seatbelts on in a non-moving vehicle and wanted our ID, and we asserted we hadn't done anything wrong, and that in Idaho you don't have to physically give your ID. We refused to identify ourselves, and they threw us in jail. And that was the night right after our first ever blockade of these megaload shipments in Moscow, we believe, and it was unearthed during the 16-month-long and drug-out jury trial and the preceding processes, that the police had actually been targeting who they thought were the organizers of the previous night's blockade. And so then towards the end of when these 70 or so shipments came through our town, which was early March 2012, I threw my protest sign at the back end of the very last load that went through as sort of a parting shot. and that earned me a misdemeanor that ended up being a disturbing the peace charge, and the charge obstructing an officer that I got for refusing to identify myself was actually dismissed by the courts a year after that I was charged with that.
Now, do you have anything that you want to add that you think would be vital for this story?
Yeah, I think the FBI and the oil corporations and coal companies and all the folks that are trying to transport either infrastructure that would build up some of these mining operations in the Bakken Shale area and the Alberta tar sands fields, as well as the products that are coming out, coal for export, both Bakken Shale oil and tar sands for probable export if Congress goes ahead and drops the crude export ban, as well as some of the oil and gas drilling companies in southern Idaho can expect increasing resistance from Northwesterners as we push back on their profit-driven motives and try to reclaim our atmosphere from the climate crisis that's already all around us. So, you know, the Northwest prides itself in being a relatively wild and green place, and I don't see these fossil fuel ventures ever succeeding against the force of the whole populace, including the Native nations here in the Northwest.
That was KBOO's Charlotte Gerline talking with a Wild Idaho Rising Tide protester about being contacted by FBI agents in connection with demonstrations against the tar sands megalode shipments.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us are Alex and Ken to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Aaron and Brian. As Aaron said, Alex and I are here in KBOO Winter Membership Drive Central, and we're waiting for your calls. It's a good time to become a new member or renew your membership. We have Jesse, Walt, Jack, and Chelsea here, ready to answer your calls and guide you through the process, the membership process. Give us a call now, 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm. Our goal for this drive, we started last Wednesday, it goes through Saturday, is $85,000. We're about $50,000 short right now, so we need to kind of step it up a bit. Monday was tough for us. Our phones were out due to the bad weather. Apparently, some cables were submerged on the corner of 9th and Ankeny, and that put us behind a little. So please help us catch up. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Alex, we have a thank you, too.
We do have a thank you. One of our community members is now Heather from Estacada. So if you are not a member, but you're one of the 45,000 people that listens on a weekly basis, now is your time to join Heather, to join Ken and myself and everybody here, to become part of the KBOO community. And you can do that very easily by going to your phone and dialing 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And there's no better time to call. You can be entered into our sweepstakes just by calling. We would obviously love it if you made a donation, but you could just call 1-877-500-5266 and enter into the sweepstakes, where you could win a $300 gift certificate to the Portland Saturday Market, as well as a Tai Chi gift certificate to learn Tai Chi from the Taoist Tai Chi Society of the USA. And all you have to do is call. If you want to donate, I don't think Ken would mind. I wouldn't mind.
We won't refuse. So please give us a call now. We'll go back to the news. That number again, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm.
Healthcare for All Oregon, or HCAO, held a rally in Salem today calling for universal, publicly funded healthcare for all Oregonians. KBOO reporter Nico Kwiatkowski spoke with volunteers from HCAO, Robin Cash and Jim Robinson, about the rally and the need for universal, publicly funded healthcare.
Can you briefly describe what is Healthcare for All Oregon?
Yeah, well, we're a coalition of over 100 groups around the state working to accomplish basically what it says, healthcare for all, which is our goal is to establish a single-payer healthcare system in the state, which would ensure that everyone has good, affordable healthcare and a good model to compare that to is to just say it's Medicare for all.
Just to be clear, what, in your opinion, is currently wrong with the way healthcare is run in Oregon?
Well, the way the system works right now, dependent on for-profit insurance companies, you have people who cannot afford to get insurance. You have people who cannot afford to get care. Even if they have insurance, the high deductibles and high out-of-pocket copays, everything that they run into anytime something happens, they cannot afford to get care. So you have a lot of people who, because they know they can't afford to pay for it up front, they will put it off and just delay getting any kind of care, delay going to the doctor or getting treatment and try to medicate or treat themselves. We need to have a system where people can feel comfortable that they can actually go to a doctor, go to a hospital, a clinic, or wherever, and get treatment without the fear that it's going to drive them bankrupt.
Can you describe the message or the goal of today's rally?
Well, the goal is to tell the legislators here that we have a lot of people from all around the state who support universal health care, and that there are two bills in the legislature that we want to get more support behind. One is a bill for a study. It's a study of how health care finance can best be accomplished in the state. And that bill was actually passed in the session 2 years ago, but did not have funding to pay for it. This year, the legislature will pass that through again and provide the funding to pay for it. We expect that this year it will actually be funded. The other bill is a bill to create a single-payer health care system for Oregon, and we've been building support for that over time. We don't expect that that's actually going to be adopted this session, but we're continuing to build support. When it was first proposed in 2011, it had 11 co-sponsors on the bill. When it was submitted again in 2013, that increased to 24 co-sponsors. This year, we expect to get even more co-sponsors and just keep building support for it until we accomplish having a single-payer system in Oregon.
Great. And so going forward from today's rally, what are some of the next steps that your organization is going to be taking in the near future?
We have to build a big grassroots movement. Legislators have to know that Oregonians are demanding health care, not insurance, but actual access to health care, that we all need it, and that this is what we expect them to pass, something so that everybody can have access to health care, whether they're laid off, working, no matter what. That's what we've got, and we have to. It's not going to happen through the legislature. It's going to happen through a massive grassroots movement, and that's what we're trying to build.
So if some of our listeners want to get involved, how can they go about doing that?
So we have a website, hcao.org, and that tells you a little bit. I could also give my phone number, and people could call me personally, and I could, you know, really talk with them, because there's a lot of different organizations in Portland and throughout the state that are really working, and we need activists. So my name is Robin Cash, and my phone number is 503-421-6125. People ask, what are specific action steps? And we're going to be working on figuring that out together. But everybody that in your listening audience, they could figure out who their legislator is. There's a thing called Oregon State Legislative Lookup, and they could just say, I want universal health care. Make it happen. And particularly people, Tina is the Speaker of the House, so she considers herself like everybody in the state is kind of her constituent, but especially those people in North Portland. They need to be contacting her and say, we want this to happen. We want universal health care. A study's good, but we know that we need it. We know we do not have affordable health care now, and we want you to back this bill.
Thank you both. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your busy day to talk to me.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling us. Really, I thank you a lot. I love KBOO.
That was audio from the Healthcare for All Oregon rally held today in Salem, calling for universal, publicly funded healthcare for all Oregonians.
Two Portland area lawmakers on Tuesday introduced a bill to tighten regulation of the timber industry's aerial spraying of weed killers on clear cuts. The current law in Oregon regarding herbicide sprays is the weakest in the Pacific Northwest. The proposal, which faces industry opposition, would make Oregon's spraying laws closer to those in Washington and California. As KBOO first reported in 2013, several residents of Gold Beach, Oregon, faced severe health problems from aerial spraying over their land. This story was later followed up by the Oregonian newspaper. In a 2014 investigation, the paper found that Oregon does less to protect people and the environment from drifting chemicals sprayed to control weeds that sprout after clear cuts that neighbor the states. Oregon's rules even do more for fish than people. Streams with fish get a 60-foot buffer from weed killers sprayed by helicopters. Residential properties get none despite the risks of chemical drifting. The bill, SB 613, would sharply increase the public's ability to learn what is sprayed on Oregon's clear cuts. Neighbors would get more warning that timber companies were about to spray or burn leftover slash from a cut.
This afternoon, Oregon lawmakers discussed Senate Bill 468, a bill that would give the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries more tools to recover wages that employers have failed to pay their workers. Labor rights groups in Oregon support the bill, saying that a new report shows that even in cases where the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industry has concluded that employers failed to pay workers their wages, employers end up paying only a fraction of the dollars found to be owed. KBOO News has followed a number of wage theft cases in the Portland area in the past year, including at numerous restaurants, at a canvassing organization who hired temporary workers to get signatures on petitions, and at the Fubon Shopping Center on Southeast 82nd Avenue.
Governor John Kitzhaber has declared that he will not be resigning despite rumors that he would be leaving office soon. These rumors have been fueled in part by the growing pressure Kitzhaber has faced regarding consulting contracts received by his fiancée, Sylvia Hayes.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We would like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a brand new member at any time during this program simply by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned after this newscast for News from the Boo, followed by Right to Survive Radio at 6. At 7 o'clock, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather in the Portland area will be similar to today, dry and sunny with a high of 64 and a 0% chance of rain. Perfect weather to stop by KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and drop off your donation to KBOO. Today in history, on February 11th, 2006, then-Vice President Dick Cheney accidentally shot and wounded a man named Harry Whittington, landing him in intensive care. In his defense, Cheney said that he mistook the man for a quail. Our quote of the day is from Norman Solomon, a former KBOO volunteer who now heads Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He said, "A lot of people in some parts of the country hear NPR and think that is a real progressive radio since it's all they have. But our comprehensive study of NPR news coverage found that the radio service relies on the same elite and influential sources that dominant mainstream commercial media does. This is why places like KBOO are so important."
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. Once again, it is now your turn. We're going to bring it back to Alex and Ken to talk a little bit more about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you so much, Aaron. This is Alex, and I'm here with my friend Ken. And as Aaron said, we are in the middle of the KBOO Winter Membership Drive. And right now is the perfect time to call 877-500-5266 or online, of course, at kboo.fm. Or you can do the old-fashioned method and come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in shake hands, donate some money, and get a tour of the studio. Ken, this actually happened on Sunday when I was here pitching. There was a couple who had just moved into town, and they were listening to the radio, and they heard music that they really, really liked, and they heard us, you know, say something similar to what I just said, and they came down here, they got a tour of the studio, they got to talk to all the different volunteers working on the phones, and probably, you know, met some new people, made some new friends. They got some, we had CDs from the good people at Pickathon that they could pick through, no pun intended, and take with them. And that's what, you know, to me, that's another great example of what community radio is. There's no pretense. There's no, you know, huge gate that you have to swipe a card in front of to get through. You know, these are real people working on providing people with great information, great music. And it's unbeatable. And that's why I support KBOO. And maybe that's why you want to support KBOO by calling us at 877-500-5266.
Yeah, that's amazing that they had been listening just that short a time. They had just gotten into town. They like what they heard, and they decided to support us. Wonderful news. Only about 10% actually of our listeners are members. I hope you who are listening now are among that 10%. If you're not, maybe you're feeling a little guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty, but it's a good time to give. It's a service that comes to you if you enjoy it. Amy Goodman, our independent volunteer-produced newscast, every weekday at 5 o'clock with people like Aaron and Brian who do great jobs. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm. Alex, you know, I was here Saturday answering the phone, so during the Grateful Dead show, and we had a couple come in, both wearing tie-dye shirts, you know, because they're Grateful Dead fans, and they wanted to give some money, so they I started taking out the sheet and taking their information, and they gave me a $10 bill, and they apologized. I'm sorry, you know, things are a little tough, and this is all we've got. And I was just taking the information. They were living out of their car, it turns out. Their only contact was a cell phone. And yet they came right down to the station. They told us how much they loved the music on KBOO. They got to meet some of their heroes there on Shox and Sheba. They loved the reggae music in addition to Grateful Dead. And they gave us $10, which meant a whole lot to them. And it meant a lot to us to receive that money. So... and I told you know, we were so excited and happy to see him and get that donation. We certainly let them know. We have another member too, renewing member Kathy from Southeast Portland. Kathy, thank you very much. Kathy mentions that she enjoys the news, Democracy Now, and our PM News volunteer produced newscast. It's news, she says, that you wouldn't normally get elsewhere, and that's for sure. That was true in that Norman Solomon quote, who started at KBOO. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm.
And you can become a member with a $20 a month donation. You will not only become a member and have all the privileges that being a KBOO member entitles to you, but you will also get a dynamic, beautiful, wonderful zip-up hoodie featuring the very powerful community radio tower logo for KBOO Radio.
Oh, it's a beautiful hoodie. And in fact, Saturday there were some people doing the membership drive, and one of the announcers has the hoodie, and he kept saying how soft and warm it was. He must have said the word soft and warm about 10 different times. But that's for a donation, an annual donation of $240, but $20 a month. We could take that through electronic fund transfer, through a debit card, or through a credit card. So it's a very painless... fairly painless way of giving, rather than giving the money all in one lump sum.
Sure, and I just did the touch test on the hoodie.
Soft and warm?
It is soft and warm. And the best way to get that soft and warm, stylish hoodie, which you don't see too many people in Portland wearing hoodies. I'm kidding. But if
I think
if you
it's the official uniform.
But if you want to get yourself a very special hoodie, a KBOO hoodie, all you have to do is give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Now's the time. And
oh, do like Kathy did from Southeast Portland. Sure. You know, we gave her a big thank you. She listens to the news. I know you are listening right now, so you're, if not depending on the KBOO Evening News, the PM News, for your all your news information, certainly for a good deal of it. We cover stories that other people don't cover. I do the news on Monday. I'm co-anchor with Rosalind Scott, and we cover stories. I'll go home. I'll tell my wife what we've covered, and she'll say, oh, I haven't heard about that story, and then because she's listening to other news streams. Anyway, give us a call now. We'll return to the news. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online KBOO.FM.
This week in Salem, dozens of legislators are meeting with members of the Wolf Pack, a political action committee aimed at creating a constitutional amendment to get corporate money out of politics. The measure is currently in committee in the state legislature and has more than 20 co-sponsors. For more, KBOO's Jenica Soderberg spoke with Colby Clipston, the head of the Wolf Pack Oregon.
Can you tell us about what your effort is attempting to do there at the state legislature in Salem?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do is get the state legislature to pass a joint memorial that would officially put Oregon on the map, calling for a convention to draft the legal language for an amendment that would overturn the Citizens United case.
How is it that a constitutional convention is called in order to have an amendment to the Constitution?
This is something that isn't really talked about very often because through our nation's history, we've always gone through the federal legislature and have two-thirds of them propose the language for an amendment. But the alternate route is if you get two-thirds of the states to pass joint memorials like ours, then a convention is called where all 50 states will send delegates to draft the language there, and then that amendment goes back to the states for the normal three-quarters ratification process.
What is the amendment, then, that would be proposed for the U.S. Constitution?
Well, so that's one of the beautiful things about using this process. The convention, in the calls that we're passing, cannot have prescribed in it what is to be the specific language of the amendment. So we don't have to go through this battle as we pass it through red states, as we pass this through blue states, nitpicking about what the specific language of the amendment would be. I would not personally be satisfied if it weren't something that addressed and overturned specifically the precedents of money being speech and corporations being people. And I think that is the essence of that case. So any amendment that comes out almost has to address that. But right now, the calls themselves just put in place the convention for all of the delegates on the issue of the Citizens United case to come together and work out the legal wording there so they can be experts from all around the country and sit down and calculate what really tight legal wording would be necessary to make sure that this amendment wouldn't be interpreted in an interesting way by the Supreme Court, which is how we ended up in this situation in the first place.
We're all aware of the amount of corporate money in politics that is increasing every election cycle. How will this constitutional convention, when it takes place, get around the potential for subversion by corporate interests?
Well, you know, that's actually a concern that's brought up by a lot of our senators and representatives in this state as we meet with them. We certainly see in a lot of states across the country in this past election cycle, some of those large corporate interests have been turning their attention to the state level. So we want to make sure that the process we pursue is a very safe one. And we actually have the legal language for this call written in part by Harvard Law Professor Lauren Flessig to make sure that, one, the convention would be limited to specifically just the topic of the Supreme Court case ruling, but also two other things. One, that we would have the ability to recall any delegates that start to do something that they're not supposed to be doing at that election or at that convention. The third way is that we put something in the language of the call itself to specify that no currently elected or previously serving representative or senator at the federal level can be one of those delegates. And the reason we did that is exactly because once you hold a federal office, by and large, you're part of that system. And once you're in that system, one, you have the chance immediately to propose any amendments yourself via the federal legislator, and either chose not to or weren't successfully able to. But that's the real place where the co-opting really happens, is at the federal level. The virus has completely taken over at that level. So we don't want to let any of those people be the same people at this convention who have the power that we're giving to fix this problem, because we know they won't, and they would be the people who would try and subvert any progress that this convention could make.
All right. And with that, we will let you go. I've been speaking with Colby Clipston. He is with Wolfpack Oregon. Their website, wolf-pac.com. They are working on a constitutional amendment that will end corporate money in politics and overturn the Citizens United court decision by the Supreme Court by going state by state. And here in Oregon, they're working on a bill to pass during this session of the state legislature. This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
Three members of a Muslim family were killed in their home Tuesday evening. While police noted that the killings may have been the result of an ongoing parking dispute, they have not ruled out the possibility of the attack being religiously motivated. The alleged perpetrator, Craig Stephen Hicks, identifies as an avowed atheist and was known to post content critical of religion on Facebook. Many have been critical of the media's handling of the incident, citing a lack of coverage and the fact that similar incidents are covered as terrorism when perpetrated by Muslims.
Immigration activists are presently staging protests in over 35 hardline Republican congressional offices in Washington, D.C. The immigrant activists, which include representatives from Causa, Oregon, are calling on Congress to stop the attacks on immigrants. The coalition organizing the action says that since Republicans took charge of both the House and the Senate, their only attempt to govern has been to hold multiple votes attacking immigrant families and to repeal the president's immigration action. The action is unfolding on Twitter and Facebook under the hashtag GOPMoveOver. There's a clip of a video posted on Twitter of a group of mothers with their children inside a congressional office singing No Vamos Moverán, which means we are not going to move.
Señor Jesucristo, quiero pedirte por este señor congresista que le abras el corazón, que le abras el pensamiento, que le hagas sentir que es un ser humano como yo, como todos los que estamos aquí.
The women sat in Senate Chuck Grassley's office praying that the Congress member would open his heart and his mind to the fact that they are human beings just like him. As the business day came to an end in Washington, D.C., some of the congressional staffers decided to call the police to arrest the immigrant rights activists. This story is still developing. There have been 5 arrests so far.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Nico Kwiatkowski, Jimmy Tardy, Galen Sanford. You can find more national and international stories at their website, fsrn.org. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with Steve Gorlick, programs director at Local Futures and author of Small is Beautiful, Big is Subsidized, and co-director of The Economics of Happiness. They'll talk about the upcoming Economics of Happiness conference happening here in Portland on February 26th. At 9 o'clock, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on the Radio Zine, Jean Bradley speaks with Ellen Morris Bishop about her new book, Living with Thunder, exploring the geologic past, present, and future of the Pacific Northwest. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, S.W. Konser interviews Scott McCloud about his 500-page graphic novel magnum opus, The Sculptor. And now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us once again are Ken and Alex to talk to you about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Oh, thanks very much, Brian, and thank you, Aaron, and Ian, thanks very much. He's keeping us all together there in the studio, the on-air room. This is Ken. I'm with Alex. As Brian said, we're at Winter Membership Drive Central here. It's a good time to become a new member or renew your membership for KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number, or go online at kboo.fm. Alex, there's a few things that we can give the listeners for donations, for membership.
Absolutely. For $20 a month, you get this stylish, warm, and comfortable...
soft and warm.
Soft and warm KBOO hoodie featuring our very powerful, very empowering Radio Tower logo. And also available, very apropos for the evening news, at the $75 membership level, which is only $6.25 a month, you get a 4-gig KBOO flash drive filled with MP3s and podcasts to play from your chosen devices. And they include a lot of amazing information, KBOO exclusive forum on police unions and the role in the culture of police violence in the United States, a very important, relevant topic in our country today, Cornel West on love and justice, Sister Helen Prejean, the activist from Nun from the film Dead Man Walking, and a wonderful talk from her. She's an incredible person. Lots of great information available on that KBOO 4-gig flash drive for the $75 membership. And if you want to get either one of those through your donation, you can call right now at 877-500-5266 or online at KBOO, that's KBOO.FM. And if you donate online before 6 p.m. on Friday, the 13th, we will read you a Valentine note that you can submit live on the air on Valentine's Day. So become a new member or renew your membership online with a short Valentine's message in the comments section on the donate page. We'll send those messages out to the world through KBOO Community Radio's live Valentine's Day broadcast.
And Alex and I would be very happy to announce that your Valentine on the air during our next membership shift. Give us a call, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. We're finishing up our normal weekday block here. Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! At 4 and our volunteer-produced newscast, the PM News, at 5. It's interesting. KBOO has become, in the last two decades, in fact, media consolidation is at an all-time high. In the year 2000, we have figures just six corporations dominated the U.S. media. KBOO, of course, is independent, and we're not run by anybody, and not big corporations or anybody like that. Now, in Portland alone, there's five companies, Entercom, CBS, Clear Channel, Salem Communications, and Bustos Media, which own the majority of the media. Again, KBOO stands out. We're not owned by anybody. We're owned actually by you. We're run by your contributions, your membership. So give us a call. Become a member or renew your membership now, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
And now it's time for KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
Yeah.
Yes, it is that time once again, Wednesday evening. News from the Boo here. This is our weekly program every Wednesday at 5:45, where we hear from folks inside of KBOO about what's happening inside of and around KBOO. Tonight, we are talking once again with station co-manager Monica Beamer. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
The phone lines are going to be open tonight, so if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, go ahead and dial 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. So, Monica, we've got a membership drive going on.
We do. We're in the middle of our membership drive. Hopefully folks have noticed and joined in, and lots of people are here. It's always really exciting. KBOO is always a great place, but the drives are extra energy. And our drive is taking place February 4th through 14th, 10 days, and we have a goal of $85,000. So everybody, if you haven't called, please do and help lift up KBOO. And we're also continuing to look to increase our new members by having, we have a goal of 200 new listeners to join the KBOO family. I'm not sure where we're at with that goal, but we are at about 300 for the first 3 months of the fiscal year. So that's exciting.
And now to add a little carrot to it. What drive specials might we still have left?
Right. We've had some really great specials, and you can click on the banner. I don't know, folks. I tend to go to kboo.fm pretty regularly, but it's a great place for information. You can click on the specials banner and on the homepage and hear about what's already. You can also listen to what has already been aired, including Cornel West, who spoke on love and justice. I don't know if you heard that. It was really great.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And so many great specials. Girls' Strength was featured on Bread and Roses. There's a long list. And some of these have already been added to the News and Public Affairs drive that's being given as a membership gift to folks who, I'm not sure at what level, but the little thumb drive. Yeah. And so we also have some